I'm plugged into the Agora's nexus. We need the whole community connected. We're the alternative collective. Self-sufficient and effective.
This is the Agora's Nexus podcast. We've got the great co-host Dag with us. How you doing, Dag?
I'm doing great, man. How you doing? Back together again.
Yeah, pretty good. It feels like a throwback episode or something, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, for sure. Because I haven't done too many Nexuses here recently anyhow, but just you and me doing one, it's definitely been a minute. So, yeah, just like old times.
Right. Before we get into it, want to give a shout out to Presearch, a great decentralized search engine, privacy as you search. So many benefits to Presearch. I mean, you get crypto for searching, and then you can use that crypto to keyword stake for advertising. And then you can even run a Presearch node to help the network and to get pre-coins back. So it's great. And if you use our link, you'll get, I think 25 pre back. And that also, is a great way to help support us for free. So, yeah, definitely check out Presearch. We'll have the link below.
They keep getting better too. It's funny when you watch like a newer company or service start and you're like excited, and sometimes it's like, oh, they don't really end up being what you'd like them to be. And like Presearch has just been awesome, and they just, you know, they just keep getting better and better, and giving, you know, the big G a run for their money. So that's really awesome. I'm really excited to see what they come up with next.
Yeah, man. Yeah, definitely. They just keep getting better. Like, they came out with dark mode and all kinds of cool features, and we can't thank them enough, and it's just a great project. So to get into it, I want to recap on what's been going on with us lately. What have you been, we haven't had a solo episode in a while. What have you been up to, Dag?
So I don't know, dude. I've been trying to think of how to word this. Really just trying to tune out like the noise the last few months, you know. It's one of the reasons I haven't had a big like presence anywhere. just really trying to focus on the farm and make it work. And especially from like a business standpoint, you know, I have this problem, and I'm like a bit of a like obsessive learner, right? Like, I'll learn about something new and I'll just get like obsessed with it, and I'll research it, and I just want to do it. And so I start, you know, a project, whatever it is, building a giant chicken egg incubator, making biochar, you know, growing my own crickets to feed to my chickens, you know, whatever, one of these many things I've done or tried to do or started, you know. And I get real into it, and then after, I don't know, a month or two, once you get it figured out, it gets really boring, you know, and so it might sort of go by the wayside. So I just had a million and one half finished projects around here, you know, and I'm just like, I really need to buckle down and get this stuff done. And I don't know, man, just find myself getting a lot of anxiety and stuff. And I just, you know, there's so much going on, you know, in the world. And then just, you know, in the circles that we're in, you know, between Twitter and internet, and everybody's always bickering about this or that. And I'm like friends with everyone, so it always sucks, because inevitably I always have friends arguing with each other online, and it's like, you're both wrong, you know, or something. and then not to mention just in real life, you know what I mean? Your family members or uncles or whatever. And like this last, like, if I have to hear about Bud Light anymore, I'm going to go insane, you know, like it just gets so crazy. And so I've just really been trying to avoid it. I haven't been like even listening to podcasts much, been listening to a lot of music, been listening to classical music, you know, while I'm working and stuff, or just no music and just enjoying nature sounds while I'm outside working. So just really trying to improve my mental state a little bit, and, you know, enjoy, and instead of just being upset all the time, you know, like I've gone through a good phase of being angry at, you know, government or whatever, you know, and I still am, obviously, like I still don't care for them, but it's like, man, like, it, sometimes you got to like enjoy life a little bit. So I'm trying to do a little bit of that and work on the farm set a bit. So a couple of big things that we have been doing is we've been turning out a ton of meat birds. I've been getting pre-orders. I've been selling a lot of chickens. So I need to do better on marketing and sales, but we're definitely making headway. So that's really good. Finding new markets, et cetera. We made some big headway with our goats back in September. We got a male goat and we bred them with our two female goats we already had. We had four baby goats, all of them boys, which just bad luck, I guess. We wanted some females because the goal is, you know, for the most part, dairy. But that's okay. We have the boys. We're going to keep one. We named one. The other three, I don't even look at them, you know, because they're probably gonna end up being food. So I'm trying to not get too attached to them. We banded them the other day, which is basically a form of castrating, probably about the least cringeworthy, you know. Thank God for my wife, because I hold them and she does the banding. But it's basically just like a thick rubber band that you put around their, you know, balls, and I guess they're uncomfortable for about an hour, and then after a while it falls off or something. And then they'll have better flavor when you eat them. And then also we don't have to worry about him being aggressive or inbreeding with his mom or anything. So, but he'll be a companion goat for a boy. We milked the goats for the first time a few days ago. Or rather the wife did. The goats are her thing, but but we're definitely coming a long way on that. So that's exciting. We'll be processing goats for food at some point, which I'm excited about as well. And then otherwise, let's see, started rendering fat from chickens. So we've got a ton of pure good cooking fat. That's been really great. I'm going to do some videos on that here coming up and put those out for you guys. I'm just tinkering a little bit right now, but I think I got some good methods down. So we've rendered fat from chicken fat and rendered fat from chicken skin. So that was really neat. And then this just happened yesterday, but the wife got a tattoo machine. And anybody who's familiar, she's like an amazing artist. She's been on the show at least once or twice to talk about some of that stuff. She does like the hand-drawn pet portraits and everything. They're just, I mean, she's the best artist I know, you know, or I've ever known. Like, she's just really amazing. But she finally got a tattoo gun and did a tattoo on herself yesterday, like her first one. And it came out fucking amazing. So like, that's really cool. So from like a side hustle standpoint, that'll probably be pretty lucrative for her. And it's just something she's been, you know, wanting to do for 20 years. So finally took that step.
Wow, man. Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah, she is an amazing artist for sure. So.
Yeah, yeah. I don't mean to be like brat, you know, like, you know, tooting our own horn or anything. Obviously, it's not my skill, but she really is like the best. Like anybody
yeah,
I know.
No, really she awesome. Really, yeah, she's yeah. Really solid, guys. Like she's awesome. So. From what I've, you know, from all the stuff yeah. You showed me. So
yeah. I think the Willow's Gift on the Nexus Directory or Etsy. Yeah.
The Willow's Gift. Yeah. Check it out, guys.
Yep. But yeah, man, I was just trying to do homestead stuff. Just getting her done around here, you know, planting trees, getting into, sorry, I got a sick dog. I'm babysitting here. I just heard something going on behind me. I was making sure she wasn't throwing up, but everything's good. Everything's good. Just drinking water. but yeah, just trying to control my obsessions and my obsessive learning. You know, like my one this week is sorghum. I got some sorghum seeds. I'm excited to plant sorghum just as a homesteader grain, you know, something I can grow and that feeds the animals and grows well, you know, here in Florida. So,
nice.
Yeah.
What kind of trees have you planted?
So we've got a bunch of random fruit trees or whatever, guava and stuff that just was growing here anyhow. We planted a bunch of pine trees that we order from the forestry service every year. And then we've been planting a lot of moringa, which I'm pretty sure I've talked about on here before, but it's a tree. They grow it in, like, you know, third worldy country, deserty places. It's drought tolerant, heat tolerant, and all that. But it's really big for like something we call it a superfood. It's got a lot of nutritional value. The you know, the plant just, it grows well. You know, it kind of looks just like a trash tree in the sense that, like, it's not like some beautiful oak, but it's, yeah, you get a ton of leaves off of it and everything. So we've planted a bunch of them. I'm going to keep doing those. I have some friends who have started a business selling moringa, the powder, the leaf, the like sprouts, like they'll sprout trees and then ship them, you know, through Amazon or whatever, or Etsy, to people. And they've, the last couple of years, they've been actually built it up quite a bit. They started importing this stuff from, you know, from Nicaragua and India and all these places. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to get domestic local production. So they're finding people who have land and they're like, hey, plant these trees and we'll buy the material from you. So they're sort of getting a lot of that set up. So I'm trying to grow it because we can use it. The wife can tincture it. We can feed it to our animals, but then also anything excess I can, you know, sell to them, which would be pretty cool. But yeah, mostly moringa for I guess that we've been doing here recently. And then otherwise I try to do anything that's edible. So, also some mulberry grows good here. And I really like bonus points on something that's easy to propagate, something you can take cuttings off of, you know, and just reproduce really easily. That's big bonus points. And then something that goats will eat. That's another big one, which mulberry is.
Nice. Yeah. 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 Mulberry's great.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're just, you can get like a few harvests a year off of them here. So there's actually a town called Mulberry, not too far from here. So I guess I assume we're good at growing them.
Right.
So, you got a lot of trees going on though, man. What do you got? Are they, I mean, I guess they'd be fruit trees. What else would they be?
Yeah. Yeah. Just a bunch of fruit trees, really. So I, last June, I planted a whole bunch of stuff like right before the rainy season. And so after the rainy season, around November, I've just been working to, get water to all of them, which, you know, which has been complicated, but I knew it would be, a lot of work. So basically I built a bunch of platforms for these, huge water tanks, and I've got enough trees to where I need lots of water with, you know, huge tanks. Each tank holds, 2,500 liters. I'm not sure what the conversion to gallons is. My mind has switched from the American measurements to you know, the metric that they use down here. So,
oh, I wish I could do that. I mean, you're basically be divided by four would be the rough.
Yeah, 4 liters a gallon.
500 and 600-ish gallons. That's a decent sized tank. Hell yeah.
Yeah, decent sized tank. Yeah, and there's two of them per zone. So I've got like, you know, anyways, I had the tank. I had just two tanks at first, but there's no gravity, so I had to build big platforms and lift them up so that gravity would take the water down the hose and stuff. So,
how are you filling the tanks? Do you have a well or anything?
Yeah, so we've built a dam, and yeah, at first the dam was just small. I think I would only get like about 8,000 liters. Now at full capacity, I'm not even sure. For a while there was around 26,000 liters, but I've added so much to the dam that I think right, like if it was at full capacity, I think it would be 60 or maybe even 70,000 liters of water. So it's a big dam, and it holds a lot of water.
So you have like a so I've been curious about this dam, if you don't mind. I a couple questions real quick. So you have like a river or a creek or something that runs through the property then, and you like, what's like the, because this is always something that's fascinated me with like property rights and stuff, is like rivers, right, and damming and water rights and stuff. So do you have any, are you just allowed to dam it up, or did you have to like talk to your neighbors, or like how does that work?
No, fortunately for us, that was one of my concerns, but like fortunately for us, there's like another water stream nearby that they actually use, and the one that kind of runs through my property is like, was super small anyways, so nobody really like used it. So from what I can tell anyways. So but yeah, we've had no complaints or anything. So yeah, it's been perfectly fine.
Okay.
And cool. And yeah, it worked out perfectly. But yeah, we've dammed it up, and we've got, yeah, we carry lots of water in there, and we've got a big pipe that we pump water through that goes up to our tanks, and our tanks are, you know, of course, at the most elevated point of the property. And and yeah, we're watering, let's see, we water the trees that I've got are oranges. I've got mangoes, and then I just recently planted 20 more mangoes. I've got avocados and a banana. I guess banana's not a tree, it's like an herb, but you know, it takes up water. And I've got, we just planted coconut. So we got a bunch of coconuts, the a bunch of dwarfs. Mostly they're all just like dwarf coconuts, so really easy to, they grow smaller and they're really easy to get the coconuts from and stuff. And they grow faster too. So they grow faster and they mature faster and they give you fruit faster. So yeah, it's, those are awesome. And then I do have like one that will grow tall, which is not intentional, but it was just like gifted to me. So I'm like, okay, like,
I'm not gonna turn it down.
Yeah. I'll plant it.
So are these trees for like your personal consumption, or are you, is this some sort of commercial kind of size orchard or grove? I don't know.
I've got Natchez too. And then to answer your question, yeah, for the most part, it's like I want personal consumption, but I know that if all these, you know, if everything turns out well, that there'll definitely be a surplus. So yeah, I plan on using it to trade, especially if there's some kind of like currency collapse, which I believe that there will be. You know, I think it's inevitable, but
make booze out of that fruit too.
So yeah, you can do all kinds of, you can do all kinds of stuff with it. Natchez, I guess with Natchez, you can make some pretty good beers too that are, that you won't see in like America and stuff. So, so yeah, and I have brewed in the past, and I consider myself to be like a home brewer, not like a pro home brewer or anything, just like a more of like a hobbyist home brewer. But yeah, some beer with that, like Natchez, I didn't even know really what it was until,
hey, I'm not until really familiar.
Until I came down here and in 2018 and had some, and yeah, it's actually like one of my favorite fruits, and I'm really glad that I got to try it. I guess it doesn't really grow well in the US. It's more of like a Latin American thing, because the trees are more of like a Central American, you know, they just grow really well in Central America. And then they don't do good in terms of like how long they last. So it's not really worth, like, it wouldn't really be worth like shipping them to the US. So that's why I like America. Like, that's why you don't see Natchez. Like, that's why you don't see them in like American grocery stores and stuff. I'm not even sure that you can get them up there. I haven't really looked or tried, so I could be wrong, but where I was living in the US, I couldn't get them, and I couldn't find them anywhere. So, but yeah, it's cool that I've discovered a fruit that I really love that I would have never really known about until I, you know, came down here. So yeah, that's a really cool experience, and I'm growing a lot of those too, for sure. But yeah, on top of all the stuff that I'm doing there, I've also got a well that we've dug out. I would like start putting brick and stuff in there, but I'm just so focused on the house that I'm building right now. But I couldn't even build the house until I got because all the houses down here are built out of concrete because of the fire resistance. That it's more earthquake resistant than most wood structures. and it's insect resistant. You know, it's there's a reason why they build them with, you know, build houses out of concrete and stuff down here, because
three little pigs. Yeah, man.
So
tale is old as time.
So yeah, I need lots of water for concrete. So I couldn't even build the house without having a water source. So I had to focus on getting a water source first and making sure that the trees I planted don't die. And yeah, now I'm using that water source from the dam to build my house. So yeah, it's been fun. This is like, I am kind of slowly running out of water. I have less reserves, so that's why I've been making the dam bigger and bigger, so that next year I do have more reserves to pull from. Because during April and May down here, you lose, you know, quite a bit of water. So, or you know, you have less coming in pretty much from my stream. So. Yeah, that's how I'm doing. Extremely busy. I've been doing that, and I've been trying to bring revenue in. So I've been working on, you know, my side jobs and internet hustles pretty much. And I've also been working on myself too. So, yeah, that's, you know, working on myself has been, it's brutal, but it's very rewarding. It's painful, but it's rewarding, you know, because you're, it's not easy to do, you know, you have to face all your demons and maybe see some things that you don't like. So.
Yeah. Have a lot of honesty with yourself. Yeah. That can be tough. I feel you there, man.
But yeah, I'm happy, I'm healthy, I've got great kids, and yeah, if it, you know, having your own spot and just improving stuff gives you like such a sense of purpose that that you don't really have before, just working in like a you know, 9-to-5-er and you know, renting or even living in a cookie cutter that you can't really do anything with. And and yeah, it just makes you appreciate, you know, all of the, you know, it makes you appreciate farmers and ranchers and, you know, people who are more self-sufficient, you know, and that's, you know, that's really the direction that I've always wanted to go in. And yeah, you don't really realize like how much time it takes up. Like you can imagine and try to plan like I did, but you'll never really know until you start to do it. And yeah, it's been exhausting, overwhelming, but also very rewarding in lots of senses. And yeah, it's just an amazing journey. And doing it in Mexico has just been another journey on top of itself. So
you know, you're building security, you know, for like you and your family's future. And that's really, you get kind of obsessed with it, you know, once you start. And then just having something that's yours and having some project like that, I do think it can go about like changing you. Our roommate, who's hopefully very soon going to be considered a neighbor, but I've talked about this a little bit the past year and a half, but basically, he got a RV for like next to nothing, you know. We're like, oh man, it's this great deal, and we get it here. We're like, it'll need some work, you know, but we start getting into it, it's like the whole thing just need to be like redone. So basically he like cut the top off and he's building up, he does construction for a living, so you know, he's pretty apt at building a room, you know. We're building an RV, but it's a big, you know, basically a shed on the back of this thing. But anyhow, he's putting in a ton of work and a ton of money and getting this done. But you know, has been a little like kind of like nihilistic and a little like, and I love him, I'm not talking trash about him here or anything, in case you're listening, buddy. But I like, just very a little bit of an attitude. And this is an attitude that I used to have before I started, you know, homesteading, you know, and kind of started taking more responsibility for my own actions and everything. And he was just very, oh yeah, what happens to you in life and your success in life, it's luck. You know, if you start off poor, you're going to be poor and you can't get ahead in the world and this and that. And, you know, and I understand that feeling. Like I said, I've definitely had it. But after he's been building this thing, it's funny because I've been seeing some of that change. And he's even like expressed to me like, oh, man, like almost like life has more purpose. You know what I mean? But he's just how excited he's going to. He is to be building this thing for himself that he's going to fight. He's never owned anything, you know, before. So it's just, but it is sort of watching this happen has been kind of like, it sort of made me realize some of that made me feel better about even like my journey and stuff, you know, because it is, it's like, man, it is a big change. The more you start doing these things for yourself, and like you said, realizing how much work goes into it, then you realize how much of other people's work you've been relying on your whole life. And that if those people just, you know, I've never read, what's that Ayn Rand book? Not Fountainhead, John Galt, that whole thing. Atlas Shrugged. I've never read that.
But
I'd be like,
trying to unmute my thing.
I know this one. but it is really like, man, like if everybody just decided to not do it anymore, it's like, where would you be, you know? And it's like most people would just be up a creek. So learning some of these skills, it really shouldn't be that crazy or outlandish. And then talking, like I went to a family event and I've got like cousins and stuff who are like, I mean, you know, they make six figures and they went to college, and I ask them what their job title is, and it, you know, they go on for 5 minutes just trying to explain it, you know, and paperwork and businesses and stuff like that. But they all want to talk about me and the farm, you know, like they're, you know, they've got this job to make all this dough and stuff, and they're probably pretty important and this and that. And, but they don't, you know, it's boring, you know, it's not interesting. They want to talk about me doing, you know, with my chickens and my podunk hillbilly stuff, you know, but it is, man, people like it. And I think there is an urge. And of course I've said this, if there is one thing good to come out of the whole 2020 nonsense, it's that I think it might be driving, you know, more people to this, to, you know, to pick up more skills for themselves. And, you know, I'm definitely all for it. It's you know, it's practical, and, you know, we're talking about, so it's a mental thing. I think it puts you in a better space. You know, I think a lot of us could stand to turn down some of the noise, you know, just spend a little bit of time in the garden every day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well said, Dag. It's definitely an amazing experience. And, you know, I encourage anybody to, you know, even if you've got a small space, you can still, you know, I still feel like you can do something with it. Like, there's this guy who lives in a small, apartment in New York, but I think he still does like, what do you call that? He still gardens, but he does, was it micro gardening? I forget what you call it.
Micro greens.
Yeah. He grows micro greens. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can do that in like very small. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can do it in a very small space as well.
Mm-hmm. So. A shelf and some lights. You know, you can do it. I've done a ton of micro greens, but I did sunflower sprouts, and they were very easy, and I think they were selling for, I mean, like, you know, $10 or $20 a pound. And of course, people don't buy that big of a quantity. So I think I had it broken down to selling like 1.5 ounce bags, and it was coming out to be like $35 a pound. So it's out there. And then just seeds are just fascinating anyhow, in the way that sprouting seeds works. Like, it's almost like perpetual motion. Like, there shouldn't be enough energy in that seed to do what it does. So there's a lot of people, I'm not a scientist, but a lot of people will claim that, okay, that's why eating sprouts is good for you. There's a lot of nutrients or whatever in there. So, but yeah, it's restaurants buy that stuff. You know, I mean, there's people make a living growing it in their apartments or their, you know, their houses, and then selling it to restaurants, farmers markets. I mean, God, there's enough apps nowadays and Facebook Marketplace or whatever, that as long as they don't bust you for selling food, you know, you can probably get by, getting rid of a lot of that. And also, tip, tip for anyone who is trying to sell some sort of food stuff or whatever, Facebook will bust you for that. But if you're in like a private group, a lot of times you can get around a lot of that. So people make private groups. We have one locally to us that's like a barter and trade group. And then you also get around selling things because you're not supposed to sell live animals on Facebook. So if you're trying to sell chickens or birds, you're not supposed to be able to do that. And I tried selling quote unquote breakfast machines before, and A, Facebook caught it, and B, before Facebook caught it, I got all sorts of messages from like vegans and stuff about like, you shouldn't call, that's cruel to call them breakfast machines. That's a living creature. And I'm like, I'm trying to get around fucking algorithm here, people. Shut up. You know, like just get the joke, man. Just get it. Oh shoot. So do we might be coming up on time here. Do we want to switch gears? We had a couple quick news stories that are kind of agriculturally related. We want to talk about them here before we part.
Yeah, we could definitely do that. Yeah. We've got, let me see if I can pull it up. We've got the thousands of cattle killed in explosion fire at Texas dairy farm. This one, like, just smells super fishy to me. You know, I've never heard of a cattle farm exploding. I don't even know if they have anything like flammable there, like not an explosion like this. But yeah,
what what the claim is for the explosion, which I guess could be plausible. I don't know, but it's so basically it seems like there's some sort of machine or pump that because these cows are in such horrible conditions, they actually need to pump methane out of this room and then pump fresh air in. And so they're claiming that somehow the methane that they were pumping out caught on fire. So of course I instantly start thinking about like global warming, you know, stuff when they start talking about methane. But here's my thing. 18,000. Okay. So dairy cattle, like the dairy cows, they have to move through, they have to be milked. When this first happened, I was reading some things that people were posting on the Twitter about it. And they're like, look, man, like I have some experience with dairy farms and there's no more than, you know, like one barn might service, you know, 1,000 cattle because there's logistics of moving cattle into a building and out of it every day. You know, only so many can be moved. And I don't know. I mean, I don't work on a dairy farm, you know, I mean, don't, you know, I'm just talking here. Right. But 18,000 does seem like an insane amount to be in one area. And then for only one human to be injured, you know, when this happened, like that seems kind of, cause I mean, you seem like they're, I don't know what the ratio is of cattle to people, but I think it's higher than 18,000 to one. And maybe there was alarms that went off and some people got out. You know, I'm not sure. It didn't say too much, or at least not that I noticed. But yeah, that number really, really got me, that 18,000. That just seems like so many. So then it would be like, okay, let's tinfoil hat time. Do we say that they're A, fluffing up numbers to make it seem worse or something, or B, that maybe something else really happened other than what they are saying here? Because I mean, there's the methane, that's flammable, but otherwise, I mean, I guess you could say, I mean, these cows are up to their knees in poop, you know, I mean, but that's not, I don't know. It's, you know, like you said, I don't know what is there to burn like that, you know, and then just that number, but that's what got me, that many could be injured at a time. Well, I just don't see how that many could be in one place.
Right. And well, my thing is that, if they're like, there's this many cows and if they're like in such poor condition, don't dairy farms this big get like, you know, inspected or
they should be regularly inspected. And I mean, a dairy farm this big, I don't know much about the dairy industry, but I would find it hard to believe there's not an inspector on site at all times, you know?
Yeah, so it's like, well, government regulation didn't fucking help because fucking thing exploded. If that's really the cause of it, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, testament to just this kind of farming goes back to our whole, what we've been talking about, you know, the last hour is do the stuff yourself or smaller, you know, small, because this is, I mean, do you want to drink milk that comes from a place like this? I mean, put the fire aside, a place where that, you know, like, that many cows in one place where they have to have machinery to pump to make it the air breathable for the cattle, you know, yeah. Like that's just insane. So, you know, it's just get out of that system, man. And this goes into there, you know, obviously, I don't know if we've talked about it much on here, but there's been a long string of agricultural fires and explosions lately. And a lot of them, in fairness, you know, not to be confirmation biasy, a lot of them are explainable. I mean, if a fan motor, just anytime the fire department gets called. So there was like an incident where like just like a fan motor caught on fire. And by the time the fire department even got there, they'd replace the fan and it was back to business as usual. But that goes down on this list of fires at agricultural facilities. So we do need to be careful to not get too crazy every time there is one, but there's been several big ones lately. There's this one with 18,000 cattle. There was the Ohio train derailment thing like a month or two ago. And then real quick, there was this, and I actually hadn't heard about this one at all until you sent it to me, but the Richmond, Indianapolis or Indiana, is that where it was? Richmond, Indiana, this fire at a recycling facility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They evacuated like 2,000 residents because of how toxic the air was. Is basically plastic burning. They just had this warehouse stacked floor to ceiling, wall to wall with plastic bales. And so it just, I guess it just had to burn out. You know, it's like a tire fire. What do you do with it?
Yeah. And that's like a government, that's like a government building too. So it's like,
I think it's a government recycling facility. And like, I'm all for like recycling when it makes sense. You know what I mean? But this is one of the big issues with like plastic and stuff. Like my county doesn't even take plastic, but it's like, yeah, they get it. And they're like, well, we don't have anything to do with it now. Cause nobody wants to buy it. You know, nobody has a use for it that makes financial sense. So they just store it, you know, and there's also, you know, real environmentalism versus fake environmentalism. Like if recycling makes sense, do it, but don't just recycle and actually use more resources than you save just for the feel goods, you know, if that doesn't help anybody.
Absolutely.
No. Cool. I think we did those pretty succinctly.
Yeah. We'll have the links down below for them, for sure. And yeah. Was there anything else you want to cover before we, end with a quote here?
No, I think that's it. I was going to say, Agora Steak or Seeds, promo code Nexus. Give the Nexus a big chunk of the purchase, so, and you'll get a 20% discount.
Yeah, you're helping, you know, Agora in every direction, and then you're also helping yourself, so, you know, you're an Agora there too.
And if you're new to gardening and you got any questions, just holler. I'll help you out any way I can.
And all the donation money goes towards Agora's content. So, and if you ever look at our site and like how much stuff we've published, and how expensive it can be, you know, we've got like amazing writers that are pretty expensive. So yeah, all the money goes towards them. Like I've not used any donation money for anything else. So, and yeah, I've got an end quote if you're ready or if you've got one.
Yeah, let's hit it.
Cool. The refusal of King George to allow the colonies to operate an honest money system, which freed the ordinary man from the clutches of the money manipulators, was probably the prime cause of the revolution. Benjamin Franklin. The Agora Nexus out.
Peace.
The revolution starting inside, an instrument of heart of Agora worldwide, Agora worldwide, Agora worldwide, counter economics, agorist strip, black market click, move a quick flip, can't regulate this, agorist strip, black market click, move a quick flip, can't regulate.